Well, hello and welcome in again to the Worship Life Podcast with Mike Harlan. This is Brian Brown, your co-host. Mike, as is often the case, we find ourselves in the B.B. McKinney Studios in Nashville, Tennessee.
You know, Daniel M., our guest.
Yeah, he was great. Last two podcasts.
Yeah, he called it the B.B. King.
Yeah.
Studio.
From a different generation.
Different generation. So. Yeah, but hey, I like B.B. King.
B.B. King.
King of the Blues.
Would love to have had B.B. in the worship band at last church.
Exactly.
Probably would have helped the groove a little bit from what we had. But B.B. McKinney, of course, the first church music director for what was then the Baptist Sunday School Board, leading all the way up to now Mike Harlan, the current, you're the director of worship.
Or at least I'm the one that keeps somebody else from being that.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So, Mike, we're in the B.B. McKinney Studios today, and it's summertime here again in the Northern Hemisphere.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
For any minister of music, you know, this time of year, you better be thinking about what are we going to do for Christmas this year. And it comes around every single year. And so the whole process of finding music, deciding what you're going to do.
You talk about, we're in the middle of the summer and we're asking this question. I tell you, when I usually started thinking about that was the Saturday morning after the last performance of the Christmas musical,
right.
The weekend, or actually the Monday morning, almost immediately, what am I going to do next year? What am I going to do next year? And because it would, you do the program, you work really hard, you get it all ready, and then you do it. And then after it's over and you immediately go, how will I beat that? Or what will I do different? And I mean, it's something that the music discipline in a church in the month of December is very intense. Lots of rehearsals, lots of stuff, and there's so much that you try to cram into just a few weeks. It's something we think about year round.
Yeah, it's a lot like being a college football coach. As soon as Alabama wins that championship, they're thinking about the next year.
Yeah, exactly,
what do we do
right next?
And let's go out and recruit.
You had to say Alabama,
kind of
didn't you?
Yeah. I was talking about national championships. It seemed appropriate.
But yeah.
We could talk about all the Ole Miss's national championships in football if you'd
like. It's not Ole Miss. It's Ole Miss.
Oh, sorry.
Don't mispronounce it.
I spent some time in the North and got confused.
Yeah.
So anyway, Mike, minister of music, to get this back on the rails, we're talking about finding music for Christmas or really deciding what we want to do for Christmas. So what advice would you give to a minister of music out there? You're a seasoned minister of music yourself. Been through this many, 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 many times. but seriously, over the years, what are some lessons you've learned and some advice you'd like to give our listeners about?
I tell you, we talk about this quite often because not only is Christmas the big time of year for churches, church music, but it's a very big time of the year for us. We produce our Christmas music usually around Christmas time.
Yeah, that's right.
Every year, and it will release in May.
Yeah, you mean record it when you
record
produce.
It, right. We record it and we're writing. I mean, I was part of a Christmas musical this last year, and we were writing the musical in October, November, finishing up some things around December and in the studio and recording it. And then the musical releases in May or around that time, early June. And so the Christmas thing is something we're doing all the time. But here's the question we always try to answer. The story of what we're telling has never changed.
Yeah, that's right.
It's still the baby in the manger with Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the wise men and the whole beautiful picture of the nativity. And our Christmas music is built all around this story, and it's a magnificent story. It's a miraculous story. It's an unbelievable story with many, many layers to it. But it never changes year to year.
Yeah.
So how do you over and over tell this same story in a way that makes it fresh and people can rally around and really experience genuine moments of worship as we tell the story? So I ask that question kind of rhetorically.
Yeah.
But that is the challenge for any music minister who's doing something every Christmas. How do I do it again this year and make it matter? So I've got a don't off the bat. So here's what I'd say is don't overreact to that reality and in so doing neglect the familiar. I think we fool ourselves when we think, I can't sing that again. I can't do that again.
Yeah.
I disagree with that. Yeah. There is a reason that we still sing some of these iconic Christmas songs in worship every year after year after year after year.
Yeah.
And the reason we do is because of they're awesome. And I think most musicians undervalue how much our church appreciates and enjoys hearing things that are very, very familiar, something even that we might sing every year.
Yeah.
I think about the great Jim Whitmire, all those years he did the singing Christmas tree there at Bellevue Baptist Church, and they still do a wonderful living Christmas tree, and I've been to it many times through the years. There were a few songs that happened every year, year after year after year.
He'd be in trouble if they didn't.
Oh, yeah, they'd shoot him. And what I want to say to any leader out there is don't neglect the familiar. Just because it is familiar, just because you've done it before, doesn't mean that your people would not appreciate and be impacted by repeating it. As a matter of fact, I think there's a point where a song can become so much of the culture that it would be missing if it wasn't done.
Yeah.
Can you imagine going the Christmas season and not doing Silent Night and not doing O Holy Night?
Mm.
And I would even say be careful about new versions of traditional things that go so far out there that they no longer feel familiar, that it actually comes across as insulting a little bit to our churches when we take too many liberties with something that's so established. That's not to say you shouldn't do modern arrangements. You definitely should, but I think you need to be very careful that you don't neglect the familiar. Be willing to go back to some of those great classics and make them a big part of what you do at Christmas. And I tell you, your church will love it because they will appreciate you doing the familiar.
It's a good thought. Mike, I know one of the things more and more churches are asking, you mentioned the singing Christmas tree. For years, programs, things, you know, dramatic musicals, we'd call beards and bathrobes,
exactly.
You know, kind of things.
Yep.
Those things were the norm, and it was the kind of thing that happened in every church every year around Christmas time. Now, more and more guys are asking themselves, they're really trying to choose, do I do a big program this kind of year, or do we do something different, more of a worship service? So how would you think about kind of decisions?
Different churches have different rhythms about that. There's some churches that alternate every other year, in deference to the family schedule and the realities of that particular church. Some churches, go all in at Christmas, and it becomes this major outreach event for the community. And they see people one to Christ, and they see real community engagement and community impact through an established event that is very production oriented. I would tell anybody that's considering Christmas, though, to consider the positives and the opportunities that productions do bring to you. I would say, and I think we've actually blogged about this and done podcasts about this, but building a network of people that help pull off a production and then layer it out where you're involving people that don't necessarily always involve themselves in music things, but maybe their gift is set building or costume making or a million other things that can be done, lights and publicity and all those kind of things. It does a production, a full range production, gives you the opportunity to involve more and more and more people in a single mission, which is always unifying and meaningful to a church body and can have a tremendously positive impact on the church. So I would say to anybody that's thinking about Christmas, consider the possibility of adding some layers of production. You're not trying to be bigger and better. That's not the point. But consider doing it from the angle of involving more people in the mission and enhancing the participation of a lot more different kinds of people in what you're doing.
So, Mike, if I hear you correctly, you're saying the more complex my Christmas production is, the better minister of music I am.
Nope, that's not what I'm saying at all.
Sorry.
I'm saying
I miss it.
Consider the opportunities that layered in production capability can. And one of those opportunities is to involve more people. You're not trying to kill your people. As a matter of fact, I know we've done podcasts about that. You don't have to kill your people to pull off a great production. You do have to get organized. You do have to plan. You do have to execute. But not people, the plan. I would say anybody, don't let the layered complication of a production make you afraid to do it. Right. There are ways to do that really can be very beneficial and impactful.
And I think looking at it as a ministry opportunity, sometimes we tend to chase what the church down the street's doing, but I think that's very important, Mike. When you talk about involving other people in your ministry, it's important.
And you know what? In no way should you ever try to chase what the church down the street is doing. What they're doing is what's true to them, what they have the resources to do, what they have the people to do, what God's put in their heart to do. I would look for ways to be true to yourself and right. Who God's put in your ministry and the opportunity you have where you are. You don't have to chase what somebody else has done. That's never a great idea.
So there are some advantages to consider a large production. There are some great ministry opportunities there, ways to involve people who maybe not are always associated with your ministry. But I've also heard you talk at times, Mike, about the power of simplicity.
Oh, yeah. So it's going to sound like I'm arguing with myself here, and I'm not. I don't mean to. There are layers of production complexity that can be very beneficial and meaningful and impactful, and you should do it. But there's also ways to simplify.
So what do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean, everything you do doesn't have to be everything that's possible to do. You can actually simplify your Christmas music season, and you can do it with intentionality around those things that are especially meaningful and not as complicated to execute, in the sense that your people can get involved in other things other than a big musical dramatic production, but things that are more missional around the ministry, and allow the music of the season and the worship of the season. You could back it all the way back down and simplify all of it for a season, and that could be just as meaningful to your church as the layered production could be. So I would say consider the opportunities for production, but also consider the opportunities for simplicity, where you could absolutely actually simplify it, maybe repeat some things you've done before in the name of simplicity, and open up more opportunity to do some other things that you wouldn't be doing otherwise in the Christmas season.
Okay, so just to recap, Mike, we're talking about things this time of year when you're considering what are we going to do for Christmas this year in our church. Don't forget the familiar you've said. Consider the opportunities a large production can provide to your ministry. Consider what simplicity might be able to do for your program. What else? What other tips would you have?
Well, I always want to say this. I want to say this to anybody that's out there leading choirs or a part of a worship ministry. Don't forget the congregation. You know what can happen sometimes is we become so performance oriented that it becomes all about the big production. And I want to tell you, the largest choir in your church is the one sitting in that pew every Sunday.
Yeah.
And at Christmas time, especially at Christmas time, you can give opportunities for the congregation to really shine. Get a beautiful, straightforward arrangement of O Holy Night, but don't let the choir sing it. Let the congregation sing it, or Silent Night, or the First Noel, or on and on and on we could go. You can find there's so much familiar material that people love at Christmas time. You can use that in the congregational settings, and you can actually allow your congregation to really get to sing at Christmas. As a matter of fact, I would always make it a point over the Christmas season to find longer periods of times, entire worship sets, where I do a bunch of songs at once in kind of a medley form. And in every one of my Christmas productions I think I've ever led, I always look for great wins for the congregation in it, because they know these songs, they love these songs. And I'll pull one out of the air just to give you an example. A lot of people know the song Mary Did You Know? But many people would think, well, we could never do that with a congregation. I would disagree entirely. Many of the people in our churches, in most churches, would know that song, would have heard it many, many times. They've never had a chance to sing it themselves. Why not find a right key that's a pretty straightforward arrangement of it and let the congregation sing it, and do it in a way that they can engage and become part of the program? They're not just watching something, but they're engaged in it and creating that carol sing kind of a mentality where the congregation is the main focus of what you're doing with Christmas. So I would say to anybody, as you're looking for Christmas music, that you're looking for the opportunities production could give you, that you're looking for the opportunities simplicity brings, but you're also looking for opportunities for the congregation to really, really win as they sing these great Christmas songs together.
Amen. So, Mike, just some practical things. We like to do this on the podcast. We talk about this all the time. Most of our podcasts, we're just discussing worship. But a lot of times, guys do need really practical resources and places where they can go find options for productions, options for simple settings. What are some resources that a minister of music can use? I know some are tried and true, and there's some new ones out there for ways to find music for Christmas.
Well, one thing that we're doing that's new this year that I'm pretty excited about, our engineer that's sitting just 2 feet away from me, Tim Henning, the Redbox guy, he and Craig Adams, Craig's our creative director, they've recorded a video that's on YouTube, and we'll put a link on this so people can easily find it, but that unpacks everything that Lifeway Worship has created for Christmas this year. And in a single video, I think the video is, how long is that video, Tim? Is it
about
10 minutes or so? And it's kind of a drop the needle, but it is in 10 minutes, a video review of everything that we've done, at least give people an idea of what's there. Certainly, if somebody's listening to this and they're not a member of our Redbox Choral Club, they ought to do that. You get a voucher for the cost of the club in your very first shipment. And so it's basically free. Mm-hmm. All the music that we do, you certainly want to be a part of that and get all of that music. And I would say lifewayworship.com. If you went to our website, that website, lifewayworship.com, went to the search bar, just put Christmas in, and you're going to get title after title, arrangements of songs that choirs can do, but
worship
also congregate
sets.
Worship sets around Christmas themes. All of that's at lifewayworship.com. And then, Brian, increasingly, I'd want to point people to our stores. If you're in if you're in driving proximity of a Lifeway Christian store, we're resetting right now the shelves for Christmas music, and people can get what we call a promo pack, which has the book and a CD of a Christmas program, and you can buy your music for your choir right there at the Lifeway Christian store. You can order it from us. That's why we have music reps that are on the phone every day to help churches. But I would encourage you to go into a Lifeway store if you're near one and check out things there and spend time kind of looking through the Christmas music that's available.
Yeah, and then at lifeway.com/worship. So that can be a little bit confusing. Lifewayworship.com tends to be more of our congregational music, but there are some contemporary settings there that choirs use a lot of times. And then, of course, lifeway.com/worship is where you'll find more of our choral musicals represented there and musicals for children and youth and all kinds of resources at lifeway.com/worship. We have partners. Our partners at Littleness have got some great new music coming out for Christmas, and they have their own choral club, which is another great resource. And then the summer events and reading sessions and workshops that happen all over the country.
Listen, Worship Life. Worship Life in Gatlinburg, as far as we can tell, is the largest event of its kind that reads music from all kinds of publishers.
That's right.
A lot of publishers are there, and they're reading all their Christmas music. You could actually come to Worship Life in Gatlinburg and hear everything that's out there pretty much just in a couple of days with us. And it's a wonderful time, one wonderful gathering. And so I would encourage anybody to come to one of our reading events like that. Yep. And you know what? We've got a store up in Canton, Ohio that does a little workshop, and we're actually exploring maybe doing some things inside some of our stores that people could come and hear Christmas music. So we're always trying to help people find what they need so they can focus on the ministry.
And we have a whole team of music specialists. It's 1-800-436-3869, and you can call that 1-800 number. I'll say it again, 436-3869, and talk to any one of our music specialists. They are familiar with all of the new releases from all of the major publishers, and they can get to know you and your choir and what you need and what's worked for you in the past, and they can walk you through that as well. So we've got so many resources that we have and that other publishers have to help churches find the music and the programs and the things that they're going to need. A lot of it's free nowadays. I know for a lot of our Phil Barfoot musicals, there's online at lifeway.com. You'll find dramas that are available to support it if that's what you want to do, narrations that are available. And a lot of times these kind of resources and support materials are actually free. They just come along. You can download that stuff, and it goes right along with the musical production. So it's a great help
to minister to music. So the bottom line of all of this, we know that Christmas music is a really important aspect of the work if you're leading music in church. And Lifeway Worship tries to come alongside you with every kind of way to help you do that. So if you just want to call and say, hey, I've got some questions, that's why we're here. So we'd love to hear from folks.
We would love to hear from you. So just to remind you the things Mike talked about today, don't forget the familiar. We've actually heard from consultants, Mike, who've consulted with churches that would say you can never oversing a song. And I think that's truer at Christmas probably than any other time of year. Don't be quick to dismiss your program just because you feel like it's gotten maybe stale or tired or you want to try something new. Find ways to breathe new life into it. And don't forget about the ministry opportunities there. And don't forget also, you can be just as effective with a simple program. I think that's a great word, Mike. Yep. And then don't forget the congregation. I love what you said, that the people in the pews is the largest choir your church has.
Yep.
And so many churches, we've talked about it maybe too much, but it's such an important biblical principle, the congregational singing, and such an important element of the Christmas season. So we hope today's podcast, we've helped you think about some things and maybe pointed you to some new places where you can find resources. Such an important time of year. We know it's your greatest ministry opportunity. In many churches, you'll see more visitors in the Christmas season than you see the rest of the year.
Yeah, that's true.
The greatest opportunity to impact the unchurched. Greatest opportunity to tell the story again and fresh in a new way.
You know, and I would tell any leader out there, if you want your pastor and your pastoral staff to care about what you're doing in Christmas, with intentionality, make your Christmas music part of the fulfillment of the Great Commission, missional, that's really developing and helping develop people with discipleship, introducing people to Christ, reaching into your community with outreach. If you'll be intentional and make your Christmas presentations be an expression of the larger mission of the church and not just the music thing that you're getting a kick out of doing, if you'll do that, you won't have to worry about support from the finance committee or the pastor or the deacons or any other leaders of the church. They will run to support you if what you're doing is contributing to the overall mission of the church. So make sure you do that well. The rest of it kind of takes care of itself.
That's great. Listen, we'd love to hear from you. Email us, worship@lifeway.com. Tell us what you're planning to do at Christmas this year. We'd love to see that. And we'd love for you to send us some ideas that you've learned to work to over the years that other ministers of music might be able to use about how you've been able to find new and creative ways to tell the story of Emmanuel, God with us. We'd also like you to tell us how we can pray for you and your ministry. We'd like for you to join us at the blog site, worshiplife.com. And there's so many resources there, other ways for you to interact with us. And as Mike says, we'd love to see you at our events or anytime you're in Nashville, Tennessee, come on by the Lifeway Studios and the Lifeway building. We'd love to show you around. Someone on our team will be here. And if you'll let us know you're coming, we'd love to show you around the facilities. Until next time, for the Worship Life Podcast with Mike Harlan, this is Brian Brown saying thanks for joining us to talk about worship. And we'll be back together with you again really soon.